are the receivers. Just thanks so much, and we're so thankful for the meals provided our family by the church. And thank you all for your love, your prayers, and your support. It's from Kathy Fields and family. So good to see Miss Kathy and Sherry in church with us this morning. Yeah. Man. We ought to pray for one another, support one another, lift one another up. You know, we're in times today. I'll see if this will stay on. We'll see. We're in times today where I had somebody say to me this week, she said, you know, the world's getting to the place that as Christians, I feel like we ought to just have us a place that we're like the Amish. You know, we just got our community and we live together and we're all together and we can get separate from this world. And I thought about it for a minute. And I thought about different things. I thought, I wonder if we'd get along. One thing I thought about, some of these groups, they're very, very strict. Sometimes if you fail, they've got something called shun or excommunicate. Because there are rules that you have to live by, and if you break those rules, then I thought about God's grace. Aren't you thankful for God's grace? I need God's grace in my life. But I've also thought about it, and I've thought about this world, and truly, the world is changing every day. I can talk about political stuff, but you know what's going on. Hard to believe anybody anymore. I was coming down the road this morning and I heard this song. Page 394 in the book says, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. First line of this song says, this world is not my home. I'm only passing by. My treasures and my hope are all up in the sky. My friends and loved ones wait who trod this way before, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know, as I think about the possibility of being separated like some of these groups and having our own little place, and then I think about the fact that this world's never intended to be our home. This is just a temporary place that we're here for a while. And we're here to create history or His story. To live our lives for the honor and glory of God, sometimes in the midst of right where you're at. Have you ever asked yourself the question, God, why am I in this place? Why do I have to work with these people? Why do I have to have this neighbor? Why is this person my in-law? And then you realize that maybe that's the mission that God has for you. If you go back and you read the writing of Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, what you find when you read about it is Paul was never at home in this world. Once he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and his heart and mind and life were changed, and then God began to show him things, the more that God showed him and revealed to him, the less he felt at home here. Now, sometimes when I go out and I see God's blessing in creation, wasn't it a beautiful day yesterday? Up until about an hour before dark when that cold wind started to blow. But sometimes when I look at God's creation and I see the blessings, and I see the sunrise and the sunset, and I look into the eyes of a newborn little child and I see them glitter, and I watch one like we had in the foyer this morning who scooted on one leg, and I see God. Then I begin to think about what heaven is going to be like. And this I'll say again, we're going to get into the scripture. It's going to be all the good and none of the bad. Now, I want to remind you that there are many, many blessings here. But church, we're not home yet. God's not changed. God's power's not changed. God's plan has not changed. So when you see all the things come to pass and you're watching the news and you wonder what's next and you see the conflicts, remember in the 24th chapter of Matthew that Jesus said there would be wars, rumors of wars, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. And it said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I want to tell you what we have inside this building this morning. We have that place. We have that place that God's given us. And it's a blessing. You know, we're in a world today to where not everybody wants what God has to offer. Some people mock it. They make a mockery of God. They mock the things of God. And there are times that I may be around somebody that I know does not want to hear the things of God. I don't try to force it on them. You know, we're in a world today that seemingly, especially amongst some of the political groups and parties, you can talk about God all you want, but if there's no evidence, there's something missing. See, if you want God, what that means is you're going to open up your heart and life to God and let God be in control. A lot of people just don't want to do that. And I begin to think about life and my life and your life. And obviously, I got two boys that are here this morning. I'm glad to see them. Glad to see you, young people. Glad to see you, mature people. I'm glad to be becoming a mature person myself. But I can remember being a young man. Now I'm an older man. But I still find myself regularly at crossroads. And what I want to talk about for just a few minutes this morning is standing at the crossroads of life. Because the truth is, when it comes to being a Christian and living in this world, the choice is absolutely up to you. We can't force America to have revival. We can't force a political party to get on their face before God and pray. We can't force the things that we'd like to have. People have to make their own decision. And I want to talk about that for just a few minutes and then try to just share my heart with you. In Joel chapter number 3 and verse number 14, and then I want to read a verse in the book of Joshua, but it talks about making decisions. In the book of Joel chapter 3 verse 14, it says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." Then in the book of Joshua chapter 24, in verse number 15, we find this very famous verse where Joshua said that if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, if you'll read this and understand it, even in Joshua's day, a lot of the same thing we're dealing with. You're going to serve the gods in the land that we came out of where they worship the sun god, they worship Ra. Or you're going to come over here to the land of the Amorites and you're going to worship their god because you see what they have, or are you going to worship the Lord? Joshua said, I am going to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what was happening in Egypt. It doesn't matter what's happening in the land of the Amorites. I am going to serve the Lord. But there are a lot of people today, when they hear the word or they come into the house of God, they don't want to hear the word of the Lord. Even come to the point that they'll say, you know, I don't want that preacher up there trying to tell me how to run my life. The things I do are none of anybody's business. I've even heard people make a comment like, you know, that seems like a very narrow way of living. We may touch that in the scripture in just a minute. I don't think that way is for me. Well, fortunately for you, if you feel that way, it's up to you. Nobody's going to be forced to be a Christian. Nobody's going to be forced to serve God. Nobody's going to be forced to go outside and see the sunrise and say, thank you, Lord, for this day. Nobody's going to see the crops as they begin to grow and the fields as they begin to be white to harvest or see the blessings of God and be forced to say, thank you for the blessings that you've given me, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've given America. Thank you, Lord, that my children aren't going hungry tonight. You won't be forced. But what about you as a Christian? Here's where my heart's at. I want to say thank you, Lord. I want to say speak to me, O God, and lead me in the way that you'd have me to go. Lord, I want to say your way is better than my way, and I want you to guide me because you know what's best. I want to say, Lord, I don't want you to leave me to myself because I know that I will make a mess. But the truth is for you and me, it's a decision that you have to make. You see, the truth is you are free to choose, and America is free to choose. And a lot of people have chosen because the decision is yours. Because God will not force you to love Him. You know, can you imagine forcing someone to love you? Brother Tom, he caught us in the foyer out here, and he reminds us that on Valentine's Day you wear red. But when you wear red and black together, that means that it's Valentine's Day and you are available. Now, I looked at my wife when she came in. She's got on a red shirt and a skirt. I'm assuming she didn't understand that. And then I seen Miss Joyce came in. She's got on all red. I noticed some of you looking around. Let's just assume there's some ignorance to that. But can you imagine, I love my wife and I know my wife loves me. But can you imagine if I look at her and I say, you have to love me no matter what? You see, it's a contradiction of terms. Because forced love is not love at all. I begin to think about the Lord and how good the Lord's been to me. And I think sometimes about people in America today and where the country's at. And folks, it's not the world that's out there away from God. What about what's going on in the church? What about the people that ought to be serving God and loving God? And here's something that God began to show me, that if people would fall in love with Jesus Christ, you wouldn't have to force them to do things. Because, you know, if you don't love the Lord, here's something I want you to understand. If you don't love the Lord the way you're supposed to, it don't matter what church you go to, you'll never be satisfied with the preaching. Amen. It'll never be strong enough. It'll never be weak enough. It'll never be the style you like. You ought to love God first. Amen. Brother Roy, the music's the same way. Music was great this morning. What? Great to be in the house of the Lord. But I want to tell you something. If you don't love God first, you'll never be satisfied with the music either.
That's right.
You'll never be satisfied with the programs. You'll never be satisfied with the service. You need to fall in love with God, and that'll be your motivator to where you'll do the things that you ought to do. But you don't have to, because you're free to choose. Because the truth is, the only kind of love that I believe God wants is the kind that you freely give. Now, we say that, I look around, I look at my spouse, and I feel that way. The reason the love that we have, it means so much to me, is because I know that she freely gives it. If I serve God because I'm afraid He's a great, strong leader with a big stick that's going to hit me, that's not love. You don't have to serve God. But I want to tell you something. You ought to serve God. Amen. Because of all that He's done for us. But you don't have to. You're free to choose. You see, we choose. In life, we have so many decisions to make. People make decisions every day. The question is, do we make them our way or do we make them God's way? You see, there are moral decisions, there are relationship decisions, life decisions, eternal decisions. I heard when Larry King interviewed the lawyer of O.J. Simpson, and he questioned him, and he was asking him about making moral judgments and was it right, some of the things that he did during the trial. And O.J. Simpson's lawyer stood up and he says this, "I don't make moral judgments, I make professional judgments." And Larry King made a comment to him. He said, "By making that statement, you have already made a moral judgment." The question in our life is, do we make our decisions, the things that we do, the decisions that we make, do we make them according to God and our relationship with Him, or do we deny God and say, it's none of God's business, and I'll do whatever I want to do? What about relationship decisions? You see, I've seen many people make decisions that they realize later, especially as Christians, it was the wrong decision. There have been times that my wife and I have counseled parents about their kids. They come to us and they say, "We want you to pray for our son," or "We want you to pray for our daughter. We've raised our son," or "We've raised our daughter in church, and now they're dating someone who is not a Christian." And then they go on to say, go even further, the person they're dating may be of a complete different religion altogether. Maybe if it's a Christian dating a Muslim. And I want to tell you something, folks. Jehovah, God, and Allah are not the same. Maybe it's a Christian that's dating someone who is of another type of religion. Let me just tell you something, folks. If they don't teach saved by grace through faith, it's a cult. And when parents come and they have this broken heart and they're grieving over their children, why? It's because they understand something that they wish their children would understand, where it said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" I cannot tell you the times that I've heard heartache where there would be people come together. Well, they love each other, but I want to tell you something. Sometimes it takes more. I heard a person giving testimony of what it was like to be involved with an arranged marriage. Of course, we look at that and we say, how can that be? I mean, you know, we love each other. Sometimes we mistake love for infatuation. Any of you love pizza? That's not what I'm talking about. But they come together and there's an arranged marriage. And they say, well, how can you do that? How can you come together with someone? And they say, well, the marriage was arranged when we were just little bitty children. Well, do you love them? You know what the answer was? Not yet. And then when they're challenged by someone in our culture, and then the response from the other culture is, what about your culture? What about what's going on in America? Because we say we love one another, and the next day there is hate, and there is pain, and there is trouble. Here's where we're missing it. The most important thing in a relationship is Jesus Christ. I will never in myself be able to be the man that I'm supposed to be outside of a right relationship with God. And young people, I want to tell you something. When you're making decisions about your life partner, you need to start on your knees before God. Amen. What about life decisions? How will I live my life? Well, as a Christian, we realize that we are bought with a price and our life is not our own. I want to be successful, I do. I want to be able to, most importantly, other than successful, be able to take care of my family. But there's times that I have to trust God in that respect. Well, what about God's will? Can I tell you there are times that if I took the opportunity for the highest paying job, my family would not even be living in the Southeast. I can remember one time I got a job offer rolled up in a set of plans, and it was mailed to me, and I opened it on my desk and I looked at it and I was amazed at how much money was on the paper. I was amazed that there was a company truck. I was amazed that there was a partnership. I was amazed at the bonus. And I began to think about it, and those wheels began to turn in my mind. But I couldn't help but tell you, as a Christian, I found myself at home that night down by my bed praying, God, what is your will for my life? Because I don't want to take my children somewhere that's not your will, and they grow up and not be in a Bible-believing church, that they grow up marrying somebody that they're not supposed to be with because I took them to a place out of my own selfishness. What we ought to start with is, God, I'm going to choose your will, and I'm going to follow your path. But the decision is up to you. You see, as I am here today, and I thank God has blessed us so much. Something I want you to understand as a Christian. Your worst day on earth is as bad as it'll ever get for you. There are better days coming. You see, because when we talk about, hey, I wish we had that place that we could go to as Christians and we could just serve God and we could be separate from this world and we wouldn't have to put up with all this garbage that we see on TV and all this political agenda and all this stuff that's being pushed on us that we don't even believe in and worry about what's in the textbook at our kids' school and worry about the language that they hear. I want to tell you, God's got a place that He's going to take us to that's going to be that place. Because we're not home yet. We're not home yet. You see, what God wants to do is He wants to help us with our choices because God has a perfect plan. Sometimes I struggle. The truth is, because I don't have enough faith. Because I don't have enough vision. Because I can't see far enough. What do you mean? Well, you know, I'm going to make a decision to follow God, but God, I want you just to lay it out for me. Give me forethought and vision that I can see the future and know everything's going to be all right if I follow you. It doesn't come that way. But what we ought to do is recognize that God can help us. That's why it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, and these are what I call my life verses. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. It starts with trust in the Lord. And it goes on and says, lean not unto your own understanding. And then it says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Don't give you just a thought about that word direct. It comes from the Hebrew word yashar, which means not only will God direct, but He will cut a path that you will follow. In other words, He will begin to move in your heart, and He will move before you so that the direction He has for you to go in, it will be a path that you can follow because you will see God in front of you, just like when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea and the waters parted. God has the ability to direct our path or to cut a path. But it starts by trusting. Well, how do you know the will of God? Start today by obeying God just for the next 15 minutes. And then go to 30 minutes, and then a day. And what I found is the more that you obey God, the more that you can hear God. Now, as we think about decisions, and you say, well, it's my choice, I'm going to do what I want to do, and you can. I want you to understand that your choices or decisions do impact others. Nothing that I do or say only impacts me. And I thought about this. This is just something that's been on my heart, and I've thought about it. And you think about it in relation to our lives. There is a singer. He's got two first names. I'm not going to say his name. But he had a concert not that long ago, and in that concert, there were multitudes of people that were trampled to death just trying to get in. Now, the things that they were doing there are not things that you and I as Christians would believe, I hope, to be anywhere near correct or all right. But I thought about it and the way that young man lived, and I thought, how would it be if God got a hold of him and he got born again, saved by the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ, and said, my life's changed, I'll never do another one of these concerts like this. Think about it. And it's not just him, but there are multitudes of others that are in the same boat. In other words, they're living their life dishonoring God. What if God saved them? Can you imagine what it would be like to pick up the phone and call your promoter and say, I want you to cancel all the concerts. I want you to cancel all the events, all the things that are scheduled, everything that's on my calendar, because from this day forward, I'm going to live my life for God. From this day forward, I'm going to be what God wants me to be. From this day forward, I've got a new message, and I'm going to be telling people about the grace of God. And the people that were coming to this concert are not going to want to hear what I'm going to have to say. You know what they would say on the other end? You can't do that. Because we've got this date, we've got this date, we've got this date, we've spent this money, we've spent this money, we've spent this money, and you might cancel them, but you're going to be broke. Because you're going to be sued for everything you've got. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to think about me as I stand here before you as a pastor, for me to come in here one Sunday and just stand up here before you and say, church, I just want you to know that this is my last day because my life has fallen apart. I've been involved in this, I've been involved in this, I've been involved in that, and they caught me over here, and it's just a matter of time before you see it on the news. I want to tell you something. I'm trying to get you to see a picture that your life does impact many other people, and the decisions you make in the life that you live, it doesn't just impact you, it touches every person around you. That's why Paul said that I keep a watch under my body, lest after I've preached to others, I myself would become a castaway. I go down there to work. My decisions touch other people. When I'm talking to my wife and my children, my decisions affect other people. If I don't have a testimony in my home, my testimony is not even real in front of this church. Because your choices and decisions impact others. Because your life is a powerful thing because of the influence you have. My life, it affects my family. My choices affect my spouse. It affects my sons. It affects my daughter. Even though I only see them three or four times a year, hopefully three or four this year, it affects them. I see Miss Darla and Brother Thomas sitting here smiling. Miss Darla, you have no idea how powerful your testimony is to these young people. Amen. The way that they look at you and the way that they look up to you. Deacons, when you make those phone calls and you call somebody that just needed to hear from somebody. I know you make a lot of calls to where they don't pick up the phone, or maybe they don't seem like they have time to talk. But there are some people that need the touch from somebody that'll know that you just care about them and that you've missed them. So, well, it's up to me. I'm going to make my decisions. I remember one time years ago there was a man in our church. He got, you know, he got upset about something. It's easy to get upset about something in church. Remember what I said about loving Jesus, okay? If you do what you do for God and you quit worrying about what people think, it'll be a whole lot easier for you to do it. He got upset about something in church and he just decided he wasn't going to come anymore. And rather than coming to church and trying to serve God, he ended up becoming an alcoholic. He had four sons that were like steps that were coming up behind him. And guess what? His decision impacted them. The whole family ended up out of God's will. Your decisions affect others. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." I remember one time, a young man spoke to him in the churchyard. "How are you doing, young man?" The comment, "I'm doing as good as I can, considering the environment that I live in." Sometimes, Brother Tom, when we are trying to minister to people and celebrate recovery, my heart absolutely goes out to them. Because they don't go home to the home that you live in. They don't go home to a place where they've got a warm bed and they've got a meal on the table. They might go to a place when they get there, they have to battle and fight just to stay separate from what's going on in the home. Why? Because everything we do affects others. Your parents, your friends, and your church. And the last thing I've got here about choices, and this is what I wish the world could understand. Choices have consequences. You know, it seems like for the last 6-8 weeks, we've been very busy because we've had a lot of people go home and be with the Lord. Now, I want to tell you, and I've said this, it is truly for me as a preacher, the greatest thing I ever get to do. Priest funeral of a Christian. To be asked to do that, that's the greatest honor that I could have. And folks, to see these people that love God, that have lived for God, guess what? They've gone to that place that I'm talking about. That place where Christians get together and they don't have to deal with the world anymore. Where Christians don't have to worry about turning on the television and the commercials being something you run and turn off before your kids see it. Folks, that's just where we're at today. But I've also stood and said this. Do y'all know that not everybody wants to go to heaven? That overwhelms me. It amazes me when people say, "I don't believe in God and I'm not worried about it." There are commercials on TV where people are getting together and putting them on there now. "I'm just not worried about it." Let me tell you something. I got news for you. Choices are yours. If you don't want to go, you ain't going. Because choices have consequences. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19 says this, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." You see, the truth is, choices have consequences. There is a right way and a wrong way. I don't care. It amazes me that it seems like the smarter people get, the more ignorant they get. They come up with this, there is no absolute truth. You know, when you go back, folks, it's not new. It's been around a little while. What did Pilate say to Jesus? What is truth? But there is a right way and a wrong way. Proverbs 16:25 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death." Matthew chapter number 7, verse 13 and 14 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto life, unto destruction. And many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." You see, choices have consequences. The straight gate, to some people, it looks too difficult because they choose to follow their own will rather than God's will, and they have fallen prey to the God of this world, who hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. The broad way entices them. I heard David Gibbs Sr. preaching one time. And he said it real slow and deliberate. And he said, this world will put a pull on you. Right. So you have to make a decision which path. The narrow way, it leads to that place that we want to go. You know, I'm going to heaven one day. But in the meantime, I'm just going to keep serving the Lord. I'm going to keep trying my best to follow the Lord. I'm going to enjoy the blessings of God. I'm going to hug and kiss my grandbabies. I'm going to spoil them. I'm going to eat pinto beans and cornbread, buy day of onions and sliced tomato, and I'm going to come to every meal we have here because I'm a Baptist and I love to eat. I'm going to catch fish, and I got news for you, Brother Allen. If hunting was an Olympic sport, I'd be a gold medalist, brother. There's many blessings that God's given us here. And here's something I want to tell you, and we're going to get an invitation. I have never felt like as a Christian that I am missing something in this world. What I found out is what this world's all about. Why I'm here. You ever think about why you're here? How'd you get here? Where I'm going. I know where I'm going. So, the choice is absolutely up to you. The question is, which choice do you make? Sometimes people say, well, I wish we could just pass laws and do this and do that. You know, we used to. Censorship is determined by the convictions of the society. And the reason Christians do talk that way is because years ago, when there were convictions and when there was censorship, you didn't turn on your television and have to watch it to see what your kids were looking at. You didn't go down the road and see the billboards that you see today. And you didn't even hear politicians talking on air saying the things that they say. Why are we in the shape we are today? Because America has drifted farther away from God. Now, here's the thing I want you to understand. God's not changed. He's still coming back for His people. And He's got that place prepared for us when the time is right. Spoke to somebody this morning. I'm getting closer if it's just me. But it could be all of us. It could be the Lord coming back for His church and that trumpet sounding. I'm going to recognize it. That sound of the archangel. And I'm going to recognize it. And I'm going to be excited. I'm not going to be afraid. Because I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to see my loved ones. But there's going to be some standing all around. I don't know how long it's going to take people. But the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation. There's going to come a day when they'd cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of Him that's coming. But I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. I'm going to let Him get a song. Noah built on the ark about 120 years. People come by and they made fun of him. I'm sure they did. They said, oh, it hadn't rained. There ain't no water around here. Why are you building such a big boat? You know, they drive down the road and they say things about us. They're in there doing it again. And they come in here and listen to people like me and they say, that man's plumb crazy. But when the water started to fall, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained. And the Bible says the deluge came up. That's the ground breaking up and the water coming up from underneath like it had never been before. I believe there were people trying to hang on to that ark, Brother Billy. Now, these people are going to be mocking the church and the things of God until that trumpet sounds, and they're going to see, I didn't know that boy could fly. And they're going to see you and I separating from this world, going to that place that God has prepared for us. And they're probably going to be some of them saying, maybe there was something to that. But folks, today is the day to make that decision. Don't wait till it's too late. God loves you and He cares for you. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to tell you how you get saved. Same way you always did. You come to the Lord and you confess your sins and you just say, all you got to say is, Lord, have mercy on me. And if it's right in your heart, it's a connection and you can make it right with God today. But you got to want that. The choice is absolutely yours. I want to ask you, if you would, please, to rise to your feet. God spoke to your heart. I want you to know that God loves you. God cares for you. And God gave you a free volition of a free will so that you can choose whether or not you are going to love Him back. God spoke to your heart. They play this song. Would you please come?
Hard to believe.